out in the first lesson, the tactics of the devil. And we actually met the devil last week, okay? We, one more, here we go. Here's what we talked about the devil. He's a little cartoon character with red horns and then we went on and talked to him about different types of devils, and most of these things we're talking about just a cartoon. They made light of the devil, and basically, by the time we got done, we realized that the devil is real. We see a depiction up there of a roaring lion coming among us and trying to find out a way that he can overcome our Christianity. And we have two things in the Bible, one with a snake in the Garden of Eden, and also we see the devil appear alive when he tempts Jesus. So that's basically, at the end, I gave you an assignment. I had a couple of people come and said, man, I worked on my assignment. This is a very hard verse to read, and I hope you looked it over, because we're going to have a little discussion question right after that. Let me read it, okay? For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. Now if I do what I do not want, I agree with the law that it is good. So now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be the law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of the sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man, what that I am? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. A little tough to read. But let's say, here's a discussion question. In your words, how do these scriptures describe the enemy and the battlefield of spiritual warfare? Okay, that's the evil, devil.
That's evil. That's the devil. Evil that's in the world. That's
okay, so that's the enemy. Okay, what's the battlefield? That's right. We have the devil, and we've got the our Christian thoughts, what we know is right, okay? So the battlefield is ourselves, personal. It's ourselves. So we have the devil. Remember last week we told about the devil could not fight God straight on, head on. But he can come through to me and you, okay? And so that's what this verse, it's a very good sermon in itself, that basically we have to fight the devil in our own bodies, in our own thoughts, and that's our battleground. So tonight, now we're going to go on a spiritual warrior. Okay, this is the tactics of the devil 11:2, training and equipment. Am I fit to fight as a spiritual war? Okay, fit to fight comes from about 2019. The Air Force had a had a motto, you know, they were fit to fight. And I thought that would fit real good because we, and I use that fit real good, because that's what we have to be. We have to be fit to fight the battle against the devil. I look around and we see some people that have been in the military. I kind of want to compare the warrior in the military to a Christian warrior, Christian spiritual warrior. The military takes men and women right out of high school and right out of college, and they make them into soldiers and to airmen and to sailors, okay? During basic training of most of those guys that were in their service, that, you know, they really, really run you ragged during basic training. And but we learned a lot of lessons in basic training. We learned the customs and traditions of the branch that we were serving in. We learned how to dress ourselves and how to groom to the standards of the military. We learned how to work with others, okay? If you ever marched on the field, you know that you have to work with the others. And then we learned how to use our equipment and our weapons. And then we learned one thing special is the concept of duty, honor, and country. This is called a military bearing, okay? When a person graduates out of military basic training or officer training, they have been trained as a total military person, okay? There we go. Excuse me. I'm afraid this would happen. Total military person, okay? This involves the complete person, how they look, how they think, and how they should fulfill their role for the duration of their military career. It's also true with us as spiritual warriors in the Lord's army. As the spiritual warriors, we learn the spiritual ways and bearing. Learn how Christians are to look, live, and act, and how we serve our Lord. Does that sound a kind of comparison? And we also continue using this type of training all through our Christian life. Look around this room, okay? Look around here. As Christians, what does God see in us? He sees his spiritual warriors, okay? In Ephesians 4:1, we see Paul giving us a challenge. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Remember about, what, 5-6 weeks ago, we were talking about Gideon, okay? And the angel of God came to him and said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. And that's what Jesus does to us. He's with us. He sees the courage in us that we don't. He is for us, and he agrees with us in words. In Peter, In 2 Peter 1:3, it says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who's called us by glory and virtue. Jesus has called us to be a spiritual warrior. Basically, we get to the point where Jesus looks at you and me and he says, you are sufficient in me. He says, you've got everything you need in me. You're a mighty warrior in me. In other words, in the modern vernacular, you've got this. You have got this because I am with you. God sees our potential as he looks at us as Christians, as his spiritual warriors. Now, the biggest question is, do you start making excuses? In Judges 6, verse 15, we go back to Gideon again, and he gave the angel of God all types of excuses. Now, do we do the same thing? But you know what was funny? Is the angel of God just ignored them all, okay? Because he knows what you are. He knows that with him, we can conquer the devil. We can overcome the devil. Well, he believes us maybe more than we do in ourselves. Now think about that. We come up out of this water here. We're completely, all of our sins have been washed away, and we start a new life. And so how do we become mighty warriors? A new recruit in the military starts at ground zero and has to be taught. Well, basically, the Christians the same way. We rise up out of that water, and we've had all of our past sins washed away, and we're starting at ground zero, too, and building ourselves as God wants us into the mighty warrior. The secret weapon of the whole thing is reading and studying the Bible. Real warriors should develop a thirst for knowledge of God's teaching. Stay in the Word daily and read when your mind is at the peak. I've heard many times they say, you know, you need to set up a certain time every day to study the Bible, pray to God, and commune with God. And that's necessary. Like Mike said last Sunday, Sunday evening, I believe, we're talking about exercise. You keep putting it off every day. And guess what? The day goes by, and you just don't seem to have time to read the Bible or to exercise. I'm talking about reading the Bible now. So the way we become more powerful in God's Word, and it's the only way to do it, is to read God's Word. Wanda and I were talking about earlier today. Well, I'll get to that in just a second. But it's necessary to read the Bible and keep on. Don't put it off each day. Don't put off talking to God and continue growing spiritually, because he depends on us. We're our only avenue. We're his only avenue that basically to reach the lost. And if we just, that's okay. We'll get to that. We're never going to do what God wants us to do of saving other people. Now, in the military, change the subject a little bit. In the military, teachers and almost any job requires a continuing education. Also, when you perform tasks in the military, they'll have to teach you how to use repair equipment and how to use equipment. In the military, they call it a tech order. They have people that are well founded in the instructions on how to repair equipment. I worked in missiles, and I had no idea about missiles, but I had this book that basically told me step by step by step by step to do all the functions I needed to do. Those were written by technicians that manufacture the equipment. I couldn't remember the manufacturer. The technicians from people that manufacture equipment, and when they got done, and you got done following their advice, you did things well. Okay, our tech order as Christians is what? The Bible. Okay, and Jesus and His Holy Spirit used the apostles to lay out step by step how we are to live a Christian life and how to treat others and how to bring others to Christ. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, Paul tells Timothy, and this goes back to what we're continuing education. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We as Christians are no different once we become a member of the Lord's church. We must continue our education also. In 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In the King James Version, it says, study to show thyself approved. Now this verse, if you look at it, not only does it tell you to get into the scripture, it basically is a continuing study, a pretty good description of a spiritual warrior. To be a Christian example in what we do says we need to be a worker for the Lord, never be ashamed, stay in the Word. So that verse right there pretty well is marching orders for us, isn't it? We need to stay in the Word, not be ashamed of what we are, not be ashamed to talk to other people about Jesus and the gospel, and be a worker for the Lord. Here's four characteristics of a spiritual warrior, and we're going to discuss each one of them, and then we're going to have a quiz. No, a discussion question, okay? The first characteristic of a spiritual warrior is he or she takes a stand, and sometimes you're going to have to take it alone. Okay, the world decides to follow Satan, but the spiritual warrior is sworn to God, and his allegiance is to our Lord. Even the world may choose the easy way. The spiritual warrior takes a stand for what is right, even when it's difficult to do. Aaron Tippin, a while back, had a song that says, never compromise what's right, for you've got to stand to something or you'll fall for anything. We have to stand up for what's right, because that devil is working really hard to overcome our thinking, our Christianity, take us away from God. Number two, he has the willingness to make others aware of their faith, not in a proud and boastful way, but clearly demonstrates our faith to others. As we go out in the world every day, do we demonstrate our faith? When they look at me, or when they look at you, can they see a Christian? Can they see a Christian? Can they see, I'm sorry, I'm kind of uncomfortable here. Our lives should reflect our life with Christ in front of everybody we meet. Like we said before, we're the only person that God has to do that. So remember, Jesus is with you. Do not be afraid. The power of God is with us every day as we go out among the devil's world. Okay. If you look at Romans 8:31, I think it's right on. Is that on the bottom? Or that I'm at? Oh my. Okay, we'll go on with that. Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to talk to other people, because God is with us. The third. Am I done with this? Okay. The third characteristic is the overwhelming desire to enlist others into the Lord's army. Let's not be afraid to stand up for Jesus. Let's tell others about him, what it means to in our lives, and what our future destiny is with Jesus. If you knew someplace, some real good place to eat, would you tell somebody else about that? If you knew some place that you could get a real good deal on, just name the item, and nobody else knew about it, would you tell them about it? Of course. If you knew that you're going to heaven and you could take other people with you, if you talk to them, would you talk to them? Now we get to the point, well, restaurants and things might be a little easier, right? But it shouldn't be. In businesses, a salesman looks at others and think he could make a good customer. I mean, if you've ever been a salesman, you know, oh man, he needs what I got. But as a Christian, we look at others and do we say, he or she needs God. He or she needs the gospel. So it's very comparable here. We need to look at others and think he needs God. They need God. and I will teach him about the gospel, and don't doubt ourselves, and not doubting ourselves in it. William Shakespeare says, our doubts are traitors and make us lose good we oft might win. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, because God's on your side. Okay. The fourth characteristic is he or she remains faithful to the mission. You know, in the military, one of the worst offenses you can do is desert your post. In fact, in the military, it could be condemned, punishable by death. In the physical, the same is true in the Lord's army. To abandon one post puts one's eternal salvation at risk. Just turn it off. Be the best thing. It distracts me up there. And I know it's distracting you. Okay. Let's see. In the Christian, when one abandons his post, it puts one's eternal salvation at risk, as well as those that were committed to teach. So not only could you lose your salvation, but if you were faithful in teaching and all these people that you're going to meet and convert because you're teaching them the gospel, why not be saved either? Hold on. You do what?
But don't start preaching me a sermon.
But do you have to do that? No. I mean, I'm not saying, hey, do you know Jesus? I have that. That really turns me off sometimes when I hear that guy come up. Of course I know Jesus. I'm a Christian. I go to Church of Christ down here in Neely's Bend. I follow him, okay? That's not the approach we need. We'll talk about that a little later on what we need to do to talk to other people. But, like I said, if you knew, how hard would it be to tell somebody, they're talking along and they talk about a little bit of problem, you say, well, you know, I had that problem myself, and by prayer and working with the Bible and all, I learned how to solve that. And then you have an opening where basically you could go ahead and start talking to them. But I don't think I have too much. I ask them where they go to church. I guess that's the same thing. Yeah.
Basically. And there's a lot of people that don't have a church family. That when you start talking to them and let them know how strong their life can be with a church family.
That's true. We're getting into this. This is good. What other ways can we approach people?
Well, we were talking about, which we can't see, but that's okay.
Yeah, we can't see.
One of the ways to share your faith, if you're not comfortable, and you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone at some point in time, probably, to be most effective. But we were talking about Bible correspondence courses, where you can help somebody who's asked for help with a correspondence course. That's one way. Talking to somebody at a table, like you were talking about, if they bring up a question and you can talk to them one-on-one. I think what Pam was talking about, she didn't want them to preach a sermon to her, and she doesn't want to be required to preach a sermon to somebody else just because I just met them.
Well, I think there's other ways to do it than just to, you know, slap them upside the head and say, do you know Jesus? I don't know. That always has turned me off. I don't know. But now, there's a lot of people in this room that for some reason can talk to people and get them talking about where they go to church, and they do it very easily. And maybe sometimes we'll have them come up and tell you how they do it. Because I think the first thing you need to do is do it. Okay? Just talk about approaches. Now, there's a lot of salesmen's approaches, and you use the word salesman. I'm not saying that all salesman approaches are like that. There are many salesman's approaches that they just kind of smooth in there. And I am not ready to discuss this area, so we'll just study that this week, and we'll talk more about it next week, on how we can approach people and comfortably and have them be approached comfortably. It's a two-sided affair. So we were talking about deserting your post, okay? That's the last characteristic that we're talking about. They do not desert their post. In 2 Peter 2:20, it says, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning." I was just telling you that not only do you lose your salvation, you could possibly lose others that you could approach to and convert them to the gospel. But Peter there is telling us that that happens. That happens. And in 1 Peter 2:21, now there's three verses here, 2:20, 2:21, and 2:22, 2 Peter. Oh, I'm so sorry. 2 Peter 2:20. That's, "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse than the first," or the beginning. We come up out of the baptistry, all of our sins are forgiven, we're Christians, and then we talk about the devil taking us back. And in 2 Peter 2:21, which is the next verse, it says, "For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them." And then it gets a little more graphic here in 2:22. It says, "But it happened to them according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having wars to her wallowing in the mire." I don't remember anybody ever washing a pig in my lifetime. My granddaddy had them. But it's a good example. You wash a pig up, and what does he like to do? He likes to go wallow in the mud. But so that's what we got to be afraid of. These three verses do present one other thing. This passage is clearly proof that a saved person may lose their salvation. You know, there's some denomination says once saved, always saved, all this other stuff. But that verse right there, it says, verse 2:20 says, "For if after they are escaped the pollutions of the world, the knowledge of the Lord and Jesus Christ, they are again entangled, and the devil wins them over again." So that proves that they've known the Lord, they've escaped the world of corruption, they know the way of righteousness, and they go back. Yes, sir.
All the New Testament writers, it seems, express, Paul does, Peter does in that scripture there, James does to some extent, they all express great disbelief that anyone that ever became a Christian would go back. That's what he's talking about. It's just like, it's unconscionable.
Yeah.
That someone would fall back into the world after they had escaped.
Yeah, that's true. Wanda was talking to me there a little earlier. Let me ask you a question. Do you think as we get older Christians and been in Christianity and be a member of the church for a long time, is it easier or harder to fall away? Is that about the way your concept? No, you said it would be not as hard to be enveloped by the devil and the evil because we've been a Christian so long. I believe that's what I said. You said?
We grow as Christians as we get older and we become stronger sometimes than we realize. Yeah. And it's not as, so we're not as easily tempted by the devil because at our ages, all of us,
Us old people.
Huh?
Us old Christians, how's that? I mean, there's Christians in here that's been Christians for...
But when you were young and you were a new Christian, or when you were young, first married and had children, and your mind is just going dotty, dotty, dotty like that, and you're so distracted by things when you're younger, that after you get older, you can dwell in the Word easier, I think.
That's if you stay in the Word. Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easier
you're right.
to do that. You're not distracted by life as much, maybe.
I think you're also surrounded by, for several years, you're surrounded by people of like faith.
Yes.
And it makes
yes.
it a lot easier
yes.
than when you, as they mentioned in 20, or any time they're talking about a new Christian, even though, as Mike said, it seems just unbelievable that they're going to get out of the world and the entanglement and they just jump right back in. It reminds me of people talking about addicts and anything like that. If that's been your lifestyle and you change and you're not surrounded with some kind of support system that's going to help you stay in this new path, you're going to go back if you're not really careful. I mean, you've got more influences and more friends, you think,
yeah.
back
I
in
think
your former lifestyle, you know.
Last week, I didn't expound on a question here. I said, why do Christians get sucked back into the world even though they know what's right? That wasn't the way we phrased it last week, but that's what happens. You get sucked back in the world. And Judy said last week, it's just easier to go with the flow. I think that's true. Because it takes work to stay a Christian, doesn't it? It takes work. It takes work to keep our mind on God, our mind on what we're supposed to do. And if we just let it slide, it's just so much easier. The devil has many tactics, which we'll be starting next week, to get us back. So, let's talk a little bit about the characteristics of the spiritual warrior again, just kind of review. We take a stand. We live our faith every day. We bring others to Christ. And we don't give up. Is that a Christian life? We take a stand, we live our faith, we bring others to Christ, and we don't give up. Last week we had a sliding thing that basically told how Satan wants to cause someone who has obeyed God to weaken and lose his faith or her faith. The third one was, in conjunction with the second, Satan wants to lessen the Christianity's effectiveness and service for the master. So these four things we were talking about, how do they relate with Satan trying to weaken our faith and trying to get us to leave Christianity? It's much easier when you can see it up here. Okay.
I think that standing up for your faith, I visualize this as somebody, it's not like somebody that there's nothing around them to encumber them. They just stand up. But you were talking about standing up in a strong wind or standing up in a river and not following the stream. You have to fight to stand up. That empowers you.
Yeah.
I had something happen to me today. I didn't have the phone with me for a while, so when I got back, I checked my messages. I had a message from 50 Forward. I know you probably must know that. I go down there and exercise in Tommy Clay's pool. But anyway, it was a message saying that Friday at noon, they were going to have lunch for everybody that's LBQTYZ and their family and friends.
Yeah.
And they were going to have a conversation, and everybody was. need to do something. And I said, what am I going to do? So when I got home, I called them. And that lady that answered the phone, I told her, I said, I want you to take my name off the list where you call everybody and give them messages. I said, because I was offended by the message about the thing Friday. I said, I'm a Christian. I'm not going to do anything that encourages homosexuality. So just take my name off the list. And she said, okay, what was your name again?
Well, it's getting... What we see today, Brenda, it was something else we were seeing about this.
Well,
and I just I said personally, I just didn't want to get into that, but we are.
Yeah.
We have to stand up. It's kind of like we're Christians, we're heading this way. The devil is a 25 to 30, 40 mile an hour wind coming this way, and we got to lean into it. We can't just say, well, it'll blow me away.
Well,
yes, sir.
Last week on the news, there was, some of you saw it, I guess, out east of Nashville somewhere, there's three crosses on a hill. Huh. And there was a movement called the Freedom From Religion Movement that's in town trying to get them to take those crosses. I guess because they're on public ground, which that's neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. But this movement they're talking about, I've read a lot about it.
It's been
is
around.
A movement, and it's a strong movement.
It's strong.
There are those that wish we would just go away. There, John talked about it in class on Sunday. If Christians would just evaporate, their lives would be so much easier. Like Sharon said, they could do anything they want to then.
Right.
Well,
they were gonna have this meetings in every 50 forward location. And they're all over the state.
Yeah.
And they were going to give prizes. You could win $50.
This is one subject area that we have to go against. There's others. There's abortion. There's other things. We can just name multiple things that we have to, as Christians, stand up against. Yes.
I don't know if everybody's aware, or somebody may have said something about it here, but, you know, we're getting new license plates.
Yeah.
And the original design of the license plate, it had In God We Trust over the little stars in the middle. And then apparently somebody was offended by that. I mean, that was the default, you know, license plate. So now you have to request In God
yeah.
We Trust.
Now you can do that. Brenda
yes.
noticed that.
But a friend of mine ordered hers, and she requested In God We Trust. And when she got her license plate, it didn't have it. And she called and asked about that, and they told her, well, that was a mistake. If you take yours in to the place, you know, they'll give you another one.
Or
that meant standing in line. They make it hard for us.
And if you don't, you get vacationland.com or tennessee.com or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, we need to do that.
Yeah.
I can't get those license plates because I'm handicapped, but I would sure love to have one with that again, because
well,
I liked it on our Tennessee place.
We haven't had to renew ours yet, but I did find out from a
yeah.
friend that there is something on the registration that you have to check, or you have to say that you request that you want that on there, or it's not going to be there.
Yeah. Well, that's one way. We just got to stand up. I'm going to kind of summarize here because we're getting close. The spiritual wars are the lights of the world. Okay? In Philippians 2, 14, 15, Paul is talking to the Philippians, and he says, do all things without complaining and disputing, and you may that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you should shine as lights in the world. I put the word should in there. We should shine as lights in the world. When they look at you and me, they should see a Christian. They should not just see somebody going along to get along. Boy, let's don't talk about that. That's a really touchy subject. On and on, which I did this last week. But we've got to stand up. We've got to stand up for what we believe in. And like I said when we first, yeah, John.
Supreme Court nominee that's been made before the
What's a woman?
She gave the definition of a woman.
And she didn't answer.
She couldn't answer.
Well, I don't know if she couldn't, but she didn't.
She didn't.
I could not believe that. I read that, and I thought, you've got to be kidding me, man. She said, now, if it was judicial or something like that, but I can't discuss what a woman is. Well, of course, they're talking about Thomas, the swimmer that basically just ruined NCAA competition because it is a man. Is that the way you say it? And he says that he's a woman. I'm sorry?
He is a man.
Yeah, he is a man.
Well, I guess I said the wrong thing, but yeah. All right. But that kind of proves my point. We've talked about a lot of things that we ought to think about because we need to stand up against these. Now, when we leave this building, we're going to be dismissed into the service of the Lord. Okay? And we this week we'll be around, surrounded by people that don't believe like we do, the devil's people, will be surrounded. And I got this little thing here. It says, during a battle in World War II, a young soldier ran up to his sergeant and said, we are surrounded. And the sergeant said back to him, he said, well, that's great. He said, now we can shoot in any direction. So that's what we got. We'll be surrounded. So you know, out there when you're eating breakfast tomorrow at Ruby's, you're going to be surrounded by people that basically do not believe like you do, and it gives us an option and gives us a chance to convert them. We're going to have. That was my summary. Okay, let's go ahead and do it. God's with you. He's going to help you, and don't be afraid. I've got an assignment for you next week, and I was talking to my daughter this afternoon. I said, man, I'm really excited how good I did last week and how good I was and how neat it was. And I think I'll do pretty good tonight. And I said, next week we're going to talk about pride. It took my daughter a minute. She said, well, that's a good one for you. but that's the next thing we're going to be talking about. The first tactic we're going to talk about, it's not the first tactic of the devil, but we're going to take that as our first subject. Pride. I don't want to go any farther than that because I want you define this week. I want you to ponder a question this week. What's the difference between being proud of our accomplishments and others' accomplishments in our daily lives compared to the pride the devil tries to trick us into using and is condemned in the Bible? Is there a difference? Let's come up with some answers next week. That's your assignment. What's the difference between pride and being proud? And you'll just have to go from there and give me some answers. And I thank you for your participation tonight. It makes a lot of difference. I appreciate it. And sorry about the PowerPoint. I probably won't do one next week either. God bless y'all. Joy, would you lead our closing prayer?